All right, so I've been sitting with this framework we're calling the Labeling Liability Protocol, and I want to start right at the beginning, because the mechanism that kicks everything else off is what we're calling label asphyxiation.
Right, and the name is deliberate. Asphyxiation means cutting off air. The idea here is that a damaging label, once placed in an official record, can slowly cut off a person's ability to be heard, credibility, access, even legal standing.
Now, this series is anchored in a real situation. A local individual whose identity we cannot currently disclose. The reported experiences are allegations and lived experience that we have not independently verified, but what they describe is a pattern worth examining carefully.
We're not asserting a proven conspiracy. What we're examining are documented institutional mechanisms, stigma, confirmation bias, records propagation, that can produce devastating outcomes, whether or not anyone intended them.
So walk me through how it actually starts. Because this individual reportedly experienced over 16 years of devaluation, defamation, incriminating narratives, and allegations about mental health. 16 years. How does something like that take hold?
Think of it this way. An initial characterization, say someone is labeled volatile or unreliable during an early encounter, gets entered into a report. Later decision makers read that report without checking the underlying evidence. Confirmation bias does the rest. Each new interaction gets filtered through the existing label.
So not the facts shaping the label, but the label shaping how facts get read.
Precisely. And records propagate. That disputed characterization moves across agencies, across jurisdictions. The person is now carrying a file that precedes them into every room.
And this individual also reports severe disabilities, being misunderstood from the outset. How does disability factor into this mechanism?
That's where it gets legally significant. Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act applies to state and local government entities, including law enforcement agencies. It protects qualified individuals from discrimination in services, programs, and activities. And that includes policing, arrests, booking, detention.
So a failure to accommodate a disability during an encounter, that's not just a procedural gap. It could be a civil rights issue.
It can be. ADA.gov makes clear that covered entities must make reasonable modifications to policies and procedures when necessary to avoid discrimination. Effective communication is part of that. And critically, adverse action based on a perceived disability, not even a confirmed one, can raise ADA issues.
Wait, perceived disability? So someone doesn't have to be formally diagnosed for the protection to apply?
Correct. The law covers actual disability, a record of disability, or being regarded as having a disability. That last category matters enormously when mental health labelling is in play.
Though mental health labelling alone isn't automatically unlawful, right?
Right, that's an important distinction. The label itself isn't the legal violation. The question is whether adverse action followed, whether due process was denied, whether access was blocked. Defamation separately arises under state law, and its elements and deadlines vary by jurisdiction. Anyone in this situation needs qualified counsel, not a general audio lesson.
And when local police are part of what's being alleged, when there's a conflict of interest built into the reporting structure itself.
That's the omerta problem we'll return to later in this series. For now, the key idea is this. The FBI identifies itself as the primary federal agency for investigating possible violations of federal civil rights statutes. Under 18 U.S.C., Section 242, willful deprivation of rights under color of law is a federal matter. Someone in this situation can contact their local FBI field office directly.
And the DOJ Civil Rights Division is another channel, specifically the Disability Rights Section for ADA-related concerns.
Exactly. These are independent channels, precisely because local reporting can be compromised by the conflict of interest we just described. For everyone following this, the takeaway from this lecture is, a label is not a finding. Evidence, inference, allegation, and adjudicated fact are four different things. Keeping that distinction clear is the first act of resistance.
And next, we're going to look at what it actually takes to protect the evidence that these labels are designed to obscure, because that's where the real leverage lives.
The evidence vault. That's where we go next.